Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about purpose. You were created for purpose. Yesterday, I did a seminar, and it was called Purpose, Where Are You Headed? And I asked the guys there, and I says, how many of you are searching for your purpose? And the sad part is just about every man in that place raised their hand, with the exception of about five. You know, the purpose is one of the biggest challenges that a lot of people face is because they're trying to figure out, what is mine? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Where am I supposed to be going with my life? And really, it's that awe-inspiring thing that makes you get up in the morning and it keeps you up at night. It's that thing that stirs your heart. When you ride down the road and all of a sudden you see something with the eyes of your head, it pricks the heart, pricks your heart, you know? It's just like, ah. I love to say is it's a concern. It's a concern that God is deeply concerned about, and all of a sudden now he hands it off to you and says, now it's your turn. You know, so many people think that purposes have to be this big, huge, monstrous thing, and sometimes purpose is just this little thing that is just making a difference that's impacting the lives of other people all the time. You hold a place in this world that nobody else holds. I love what Pastor Sam says, the day you were born is the day God decided he needed you on this earth. That's so cool. The God of heaven decided, I need you here today. So I'm going to look at two simple verses. They're on the back of your handouts. And it's just very simple. And it's Jeremiah 4:5. This is one of my favorite verses. This is the verse that I love to pray over my grandkids. This is the verse because it's just so impactful. God tells Jeremiah, he says, I knew you before I formed you in the mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart as a prophet to the nations. In Jeremiah's case, he was set aside as a prophet to the nations. Every one of you in this room, you have a blank that God has set you apart for. That's just amazing to me. Just like Jeremiah was created for a life-impacting purpose, and so are we. We get to partner with God in his mission of what he came to this earth for. I love the part over, and it says in Luke 19:10, he says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's his purpose. That was his purpose when he came here, was to seek and to save that which was lost. It was to impact the lives of the people so they would have an eternal life. And that's what we pretty much are supposed to be doing. So as you look on your handout, I love acronyms. Okay, the reason I love to use acronyms a lot is because not everybody will always remember the whole message, but they'll remember a letter. So my prayer today is that there's a letter that we talk about here today that just kind of hits your heart, that impacts your heart. So that's kind of what we're looking at. So let's look at the P. The P is plan. God has an amazing plan for your life. You see behind underneath of it, you have the Jeremiah verse with blanks. Put your name there. I'll do one. I'll mess with Abby this morning. It says, I knew Abby before I formed her in her mother's womb. Before she was born, I set her apart, and I appointed Abby as. One day, we hope, we pray, Abby will know what that blank is. One day, I hope all of us will know what that blank is. In my Bibles, and this is what I've had to do, in my Bible, I have mine written right here, and it says to help people unlock their God-given purpose and to help churches build an effective ministry to men inside of their churches. I have it taped right there. There was a time in my life where I had to have it taped to my dashboard in my work truck. I had to have it everywhere. Because I have learned is as God starts to give you this purpose, if you don't write it down, Satan comes along and steals it. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden? What happened in the garden? The serpent said, Satan said, did God really say that? He should have had it in his heart, you know? And that's what I had to do is I wrote it down until it got so deep in me that Satan couldn't steal it. And that's what we have to do because he is coming after you. As soon as you start moving to that purpose, he's coming after you. But I just want you to think about that plan that God has. You remember earlier I talked about that you have this purpose where you see something with the eyes of your head and it ignites in the heart. Every purpose will begin with a concern. I'm going to give you three C's. I'm not charging you any extra for this today. Okay? Three C's. The first C is a concern. Every purpose starts with a concern that God places in your heart about something that He needs you to do. The next C is a cause. We need to turn this concern to a cause. You know what a cause is? A cause is something bigger than you. If you can do it, if you can pay for it, if you can handle it, if you can manage it, what do you need God for? God wants you to do something where He's at the center of it, where He's at the front of it, where He is the one that is pushing the triggers and everything else. I don't have this in my notes, but I'm just going to tell you. I was in Florida, and when you know you're doing what you need to be doing, God will always send you a butler, a baker, and a Pharaoh. Remember the story of Joseph? Send him a butler, a baker, and a Pharaoh. Open up all the doors. I got the butler. I had the baker. In my life, I didn't have the Pharaoh. You know what the Pharaoh is? That's the guy that has all the money, that has all the buttons, has all the things, that has everything. So I'm in Florida at a United Methodist men's event, and I'm doing Living Out of the Rut. I wrote a book about Living Out of the Rut. If you want some, I'll bring them and put them on the table back here. So I'm sitting there, and I'm doing the seminar, and this guy is sitting over here, and he's a hider. You know what a hider is? It's when I walk this way, he leans that way. When I walk this way, he leans that way. That's a hider. So he was just getting his world hammered. So we're sitting there, and as soon as the thing was over with, I got attacked by a bunch of guys over here that wanted to talk, and he snuck out the door. And I went looking for him, and I couldn't find him. And I asked somebody, I said, where did the guy go? And they, oh, he left. He left? I didn't think it was really that bad. I mean, I had a bunch of guys wanting to talk, so that's kind of the judge, you know, of the seminar, how did it go? So that Tuesday, I got an email from him, and he said, you're going to be in Jacksonville the following weekend. He said, can I meet you for breakfast? I said, sure. So we sit down at Cracker Barrel, and he looked at me, and he said, I told my wife I was coming to this conference, and I needed to hear five words. He said, God used you to speak those five words. He said, you said those five words word for word for word for word. And he said, I went back home. He said, I would have been dead in a year. God had not spoke, used you to speak. So he asked me, he said, kind of what's on your heart? My heart is I love when I go out of town and speak at these conferences, I love to go to churches that can't afford to have anybody come in. It's my heart. I want to go share and encourage churches, smaller churches. Hey, you don't have to be small all your life. You can be large. You know, you can move, you can do things. And that is what I love, to just go in and encourage these people. Hey, God's got a purpose. God's got a plan. He's just waiting for you to value it enough to live it out. That's the message. So he said, I will tell you what I will do. He went back, and on Monday, he sold his business for $147 million. They set him up for 3 years for $54 million to work part-time to help keep the business moving while all the transition happened. Every time my budget, I don't charge anybody to go anywhere. He said, the only thing I ever want you to make to get people to do is to put you in a hotel. Because after you do this all day long, you do not want to go to somebody's house and spend a night or whatever. You want to shut the door behind you and you want to get away. You know, just peace. So every time my budget gets down to a certain amount, I send him a text. He puts more money in it. Gets down to a certain amount, he puts more money in it. Folks, the reason I tell you that story is because so many times we look at what we don't have instead of looking at what we do have. And if God gives you the plan, if God unpacks the plan, God is going to unfold everything you need to fulfill that plan. Everybody good? And then the last C is called commitment. I have found most people in a church will commit not to commit to anything. Just saying. So a concern turned to a cause with a commitment will help you reach that purpose. I'm going to put something up here at the end of it to kind of help you fill that in. The U is understand God uses everything in your life for a purpose. Some of your greatest lessons are going to be learned in valleys, not on mountains. Sometimes you look at what you're going through and you ask yourself, why am I going through this? You need to start asking yourself, what can I learn from this? It's a big difference. When something bad happens, when something is going wrong, you need to ask yourself, what do I need to learn right here? Because I can tell you some of the greatest lessons that you will forward on in your life are those valley experiences, not always the mountain experiences. What if That mountain that's in front of you was put there, was assigned to you by God so you could show other people how to move mountains. You ever thought about that? Sometimes we look at these mountains that's in front of us and we go, how can I do that? You can't. But God can change more in a moment than you can in a lifetime. So that mountain that's sitting here before you, you need to look at ways of how, with God, of how that mountain can be moved so others are watching you. Brooks Robinson said, every day we serve as a role model, whether good or bad. Every day people are watching you, how you live your life and what you do by and what you say. It says, when you give your life, your past, and your pain, God goes to work to give it a purpose. God loves to take your past and your pain. When I stand before people, I minister out of my heart about where I've been and about where I'm going. I stand on the platform with guys sometimes, and I walk out there, and I'm sitting next to the president of ISI, and I said, I bet he talks about Psalms 1. He says, no, man, he talked about that like 2 years ago. I said, I bet he talks about it. He gets up in the platform and puts his Bible down, and he said, guys, he said, turn to Psalms 1. We have too much of the pat instead of allowing God to use the heart. There's a lot of things that we can just do out of head knowledge. The head knowledge stuff doesn't really have a whole lot of impact. Head knowledge applied to the heart knowledge combined will have a monster impact. Our relationship with God is key. You will never fully trust a God you don't know. I see guys all the time. I asked the guy that rode with me this weekend, I said, when was the last time you opened up the day with a daily devotion? When was the last time you opened up your morning and just thanked God for another day of life? He said, I can't remember. I said, problem one, if you start the day off wrong, your day is probably going to go wrong. You start the day off right, you have a better chance of keeping it in line. You will never, ever give away what you do not possess. You'll never reproduce except who you are. I love this. This is this pen right here, the pen point. Most of you got pens in your hand. Look at that point. Look how small it is. As long as you move that much closer to God every day, you'll never back up a day in your life. Will never back up. I don't care if you don't have time, but get one verse in you before you have to run out of the house. Get something in you before you start your day, because it will make a huge difference. The P, pay attention to the little things. Everything big starts small. Pay attention to the God nudges. God loves to nudge you throughout the day. God loves to just poke you and go, right there, right there. But the sad part is most of us are so busy, we're living our lives and we're just running around like chickens with our head cut off, and we miss out on all the little things that God wants to do in our lives all day. I'm guilty of it. I get up and sometimes I'm just moving, I'm going places and everything else, and I miss the people that are sitting around us. So Saturday morning, a bunch of us are sitting there eating breakfast, and one of the guys, the server comes, and she comes over to the table, and one of the guys, he doesn't even look at her. He doesn't even acknowledge. He just says, I want water. Another guy sits there, and when he starts to order, and he's sitting there, and he goes, she says, well, do you want this? Do you want this? You know, he was ordering the special, which came with like 19 items. And he said, I don't care. You just bring me something, you know. And that waitress left the table. That server left the table, and I railed on him. I looked at him, and I told him, I said, when I'm sitting with you at a table, don't you ever, ever act like that again. When that server walks up, I want you to look her in her face. I want you to acknowledge her. When she's asking you what you want, she's not your wife. She doesn't know your habits and your appetite. Don't you ever, ever do that again when I'm with you. I said, these people, and most of them are mothers that men have walked out of their lives, and they're trying to make ends meet because he's a deadbeat jerk. And then one guy reached in his pocket and he pulled out a track. I reached over and I handed him that track. And I reached in his wallet. What do you have in there? I pulled a $5 bill out and laid it over there. I said, by the way you acted, she doesn't need that track. She needs your money. We'll come back and we'll give her the track later. I'll be daggone if you're going to sit here and the way you just acted, treated her, and then you're going to tell her you're a Christian? Ain't going to happen. Sorry. Guys that travel with me have a tough time. There's a standard of the way you treat people. How are we doing? All right. The O is obedience. This is the hard one. Well, the next three are. O is the obedience. It's taking a step even when you don't know where it's going. When God started pulling me into the ministry, I started hiding behind other ministries. I started doing things for everybody else instead of what God called me to. Because I didn't think that I could do what he was calling me into doing. So I hid behind other people. I hid behind them. I partnered with them. I worked with them. I did things with them. And one day I was standing in Orlando, Florida, and we were getting ready to do a conference. And behind, I was talking to a guy, and over his left shoulder was a sign, and it said, "Man Up." And I was like, see, that's the name God gave me for my ministry, was Man Up Ministries. And God, just as clear as day, God said, if you don't do it, I will give it to somebody else. We went back. I went to the county. She'll tell you, went and got all the information and all the stuff and got everything filed. Nobody is going to do the ministry that God has given me but me. I'm not going to do it. If God's put something on your heart, he's waiting for you to do it. And if you don't do it, he's going to have to find somebody else to do it, because obviously it is a concern that he cares deeply about. We need to believe that God can do more with our lives than we can do. It's hard. You want to trust your life to a God you have never seen? Sure, you feel him show up at worship and you prayer times and you see God working, but you are going to really trust your life? Really? I look at guys in the Bible. I look at Noah. Hey, build this. Why? Just build it. I look at Abraham. He tells him, he says, leave here and go there. You want me to leave this over here and go somewhere I don't know? Peter, Paul, Paul running around killing people, and all of a sudden God shows up and changes everything and says, now this is what I want you to do. Think of all the people in the Bible that he says, marching around a wall for 7 days? Really? There's a whole message there too, is never stop on day six. If God's called you to march around something, don't stop on day six. Keep going. The miracle is on day seven. So we're sitting here, and so one thing that everybody here has in common is called faith. Read Hebrews 11. I love it. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Remember, it's always bigger than you. Your purpose is always bigger than you. I love the stories how these people that obeyed God and moved in faith about the impact that their lives had. And it's the same way with us. When you step out, even though you don't know where God's leading, I can tell you one thing, the journey will be amazing. There will be days it'll be hell in the hallway, but the journey is absolutely going to be amazing. I look back at where I came from, a mess, to what I'm doing now. I had a guy yesterday that I knew from middle school, and I invited him to the conference. He moved to Wilmington, and I said, okay, come down and be my guest. In his email, he said, is that picture really you? Nice. See, he remembered me from the last years, the years of playing ball and the years of all this other stuff. That was the Rex he remembered. And then all of a sudden, one day, God shows up and says, we're going to go this direction. And we're sitting here, and it's just amazing. And he sat there yesterday, and I walked off the platform, and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, that is amazing turnaround. You know, by faith, you've got to take a step, even though you don't know where it's going. The S is stand firm when you start. There's two things here that I want to talk about. You've got to hold tight when you do this. The first thing you've got to remember is people who have never done anything will always tell you how to do something. Just telling you, okay? Be ready for it, because the people who have never done what you're getting ready to do will be offering all kinds of advice. You need to soar with eagles and stop pecking with turkeys, okay? I'm just telling you, you might even need to learn the gift of goodbye. You've got somebody in your ear over here that's just chirping, and you need to go, this is what God is calling me to do, and this is where I'm going. This is what I'm going to do. So be careful. Hold on tight to it, because there are people that will come along and try to take it and try to steal it from you. The next one is you've got to hold on tight to it because of Satan. John 10:10 says that he loves to come steal, kill, and destroy, and he wants to take your purpose away from you. He wants to ruin your life. He wants to mess your life up. He does not want you to reach your purpose because he knows if you start reaching your purpose, you're going to impact the lives of other people, and he does not want that. So when Satan is attacking, you have three tools. The first one is his word. Get into his word. Open up the Bible. See what the Bible says about it. The next one is you have prayer. Folks, I've seen God do some of the most amazing things through prayer. I mean, it only just absolutely mind-blowing. I was playing ball, and a friend of mine had he had cancer, and he was doing a benefit tournament. And he called me one day, and I was laughing. I told a story yesterday, and you know, ever see the TV commercial with Ron Gronkowski sitting on the sofa and he's on the phone and the lady asks him what's his number and he looks down. No, Brady. You know, Brady, they see the commercial and Brady says, well, Gronk is going to join me in Tampa. And he hollers out. He says, Mom, I need my uniform. That's what I did. I said, Becky, I need my uniform. I went out and I played. And all I was going to do is catch, and that didn't happen. So I was pitching, and a guy hit one back, and my foot slipped. I hadn't played in, like, almost a year. Reflexes are slow. And I went to catch it like that, and I blew the lower disc in my back. Went to the doctor. She'll tell you, I was in pain. I mean, you know, standing on the field, my brain said to move, and my body said, you're not going anywhere. And I went and to the doctor and everything else. The following weekend, I think it was the following weekend, we had a ministry event that we were doing. And the superintendent of the conference, he says, I need 12 men who believe God still heals today. They came up and they laid hands on me, and my body felt like it was about 500 degrees. And from that moment on, I never have had a needle or a knife stuck in my back. Nothing. I tell you that story is because prayer is powerful. Miracles happen every single day. And the last thing you have is praise. I love praise, worship music. And the car the whole way down and the whole way back, he kept wanting to show me something on his phone or want me to listen to something on his phone, and I'd lean over and turn the radio back on. We'd ride a little bit further, a few more miles, and he'd want to show me something else, and I'd lean over and he'd turn the radio off, and I'd lean over and turn the radio back on. And finally, last night, he asked me, he says, why do you always have worship music while you're driving? Why not? What's better to have in this vehicle when we're running 80 miles an hour down 95 with a bunch of other fools? There's just something about the music where God just gets, you just get to take a breath, you get to breathe, and you just get to seek God for who he really is. When you hear, like I said earlier, write it down. Put your post-it notes everywhere you need to put your post-it notes because you've got two things coming at you. The E is excuses. Excuses will keep you from your purpose. I have learned that most people, if they don't want to do something, they'll make an excuse. But if they want to do it, they'll always find a way. I used to go to a church, and the last church we were at, and you'd walk up to people, and they'd go, well, say, hey, can you do this? Well, let me pray about it. And I got to a point where I would go, well, let's pray now. They were messed up. So many times we hide behind excuses about what we want to do or why we don't even want to do it. You remember Moses, when God started working in Moses? He gave five excuses. None of those work for Moses. They're not going to work for you either. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. God's heard all the good ones. Okay, so you don't need to try to give excuses. You just have to look at it and you have to move forward. When you give up your excuses, God goes to work on helping you put your purpose in place. Let me help you kind of unlock your purpose. Someone said that if you can't figure out your purpose, find your passion and it will lead you directly into your purpose. What are you passionate about? I asked you earlier, what makes you weep? What keeps you up at night? When you find that passion, see, the reason that I love doing men's ministry is because I was on the wrong side of being a man for so long. I didn't know what it was to be a husband. I didn't know what it was to be a father. I didn't know what it was to be any of that. I was on the wrong side of it for so, so long. And now I hate to see guys go to their grave with unused lives, with life that's unused. God did not put us here on this earth to go to our grave with our lives left unused. We're supposed to be wearing out and not rusting out. And we see too many people, well, I'm too old or I'm too young. Sometime read 2 Timothy 4:12. Abby, read 2 Timothy 4:12 sometime. It says, don't let anyone despise the youth. But he tells the youth to set an example in faith, love, and purity. You know, a couple other things I'll let you live. I'll tell you all of them. You won't have to look it up. But find your passion. Find that thing that just motivates you. If your purpose rests at the intersection of your God-given gifts, how you gift it, and what you love to do, and a concern that God is concerned about, that's where your purpose lies. It's right there. If you put the slide up for me, I love this. Your purpose begins with a concern placed in your heart by God, turned into a cause by God stirring your heart, and starts with a commitment by you taking action. That's what your purpose is. That's how you discover your purpose. It's finding your concern, making it bigger than you, and letting God go to work. Like I said earlier, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why God has us here. Everything he wants us to do, everything we do, every mission, ministry, or anything else that you ever do in your life, you are put here to impact the lives of other people. Didn't Jesus come to impact the lives of people? He says it right here. That's what we are supposed to be doing. So you need to ask God, says God, how can I take this passion and turn it around to where it will impact the lives of other people? And I bet you God will show you. God will start unpacking it. But I want to give you just a little piece of it further. So this is a participation time. How many of you like putting puzzles together? Y'all are sick. When you put a puzzle together, the picture on the box is the picture of what's inside. Is that correct? So every one of us, at some point, God starts seeing through the eyes of your head and he starts stirring your heart. That's the box. I want to put the puzzle together. What is the first thing I have to do to put the puzzle together? Take out the pieces? You have to open the box. But so many times what we do is we look at the box and we go, 500 pieces? I don't have time for that. And then all of a sudden it's a snowy day or it's a rainy day or something like that, and you walk past it and you're just absolutely bored. It's maybe been a couple days since you've been out of the house or whatever, and you walk past that puzzle and you pick it up and you open up the box and you dump it out on the table. After you dump it out on the table, what's the next thing you do? Why do you do the edge pieces? Why do you do the edge? So you fill them in, but what does the border do? Gives you boundaries. Most of us live our lives like this. We have no boundaries. We're all over the place. We're hopping on the next big thing. We're hopping on the next thing. We're hopping on the next thing that stirs our heart or whatever it may be. You open the box, you dump it out, you put the puzzle together. You start put the borders together. When you put the borders together, it keeps you focused right in the middle. I get people that come up to me all the time and saying, hey, I need you to do this over here, to help me do this over here. Well, why? You know, I said, that's why. Right there. So many times we get distracted doing things that has no purpose, no thing in our life. We're doing it just to do it. And it takes us further and further and further away from the thing that God really wants you to do. So when you're putting the puzzle together, how do you put it together? Come on, this isn't hard. This is the easy one. How do you put the puzzle together? One piece at a time. Your purpose is the same way. God drops a piece of your purpose, puts it into your hand. Why is God going to give you the second piece when what he has already given you, you haven't put in place? God will only give you a piece of your purpose at a time. When you put that piece in place, God puts another piece in your hand. I see so many people going, well, it's just not going well. Have you put the piece over here that God's given you in place? Well, no, I really need to be doing this. No, you put this piece in place, no matter how trivial, how simple, or whatever else it seems like, it sounds like, you put that right there, and God will put another piece in your hand. Your purpose is the same way of doing a puzzle. You've got to open the box, and you've got to go, okay, God, here I am. You've got to put your borders out, and you've got to start taking one piece at a time and putting it in place. Over in the Philippines, monkey meat is a delicacy. What the hunters will go out and they'll take coconuts and they'll cut the ends of the coconuts out and they'll go nail them to a tree and they'll put brown rice in them because the monkeys love brown rice. They'll go out there in the morning and they'll take their hand, at night, and they'll stick their hand in the coconut to grab a handful of brown rice. And their hand, their whatever you call their mitt, is big and they can't get it back out of the coconut. See, they won't let go of that brown rice. They hold on to that brown rice. So the hunters come out the next morning and they take the clubs and knock them in the head and they take them off and skin them and sell them as monkey meat. See, what happens is all that monkey had to do was to let go of the brown rice and he could have lived to be another day. No, he loves that brown rice. See, we come into church a lot of times. We come into church and we're holding on to the brown rice. We have our hands stuck in a coconut, something of the world, some issue, something that we're dealing with, something that is going on, something that is stealing you. It's robbing you of reaching your purpose. And then all of a sudden, worship music starts. Kim and them get up here, and they start singing worship. And next thing is you're over here like this. One hand in the brown rice, and one hand over here trying to worship God. What would happen? What would happen if when worship started, you took your hand and you let go of the brown rice, and you let God handle that? You let God deal with that. And you made yourself a funnel. And you allowed God to pour everything he has planned for your life into that funnel. You think your life would change? You think your life would become amazing? You think you would be doing things that you never, ever dreamed? I do things that I could tell you if anybody had ever told me 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would be doing. She's back there shaking her head. There is no way. But when you make yourself a funnel and you say yes, God goes to work and he takes your past, he takes your pain, and he gives it a purpose. When he gives you a purpose, you get to help others with their purpose. So down at the bottom of your page, you have one simple blank. In the bottom, it says simply, it says, what breaks your heart? It's not a test. Take it home. Fill it out sometime. You may be able to fill it out now. But just really, really, just look at it and ask yourself, what really does break my heart? And then ask God, says, God, is this what I need to turn into a cause? And if God starts opening up doors, he starts opening little things. You need to walk through that door. It says, by faith, remember? Then when you get to the next place, by faith, you go to the next place. Folks, there is amazing talent in this church. Amazing giftings are in this church. It's one reason why we stay. Because God has got a big plan. And God works through as soon as we grab God's vision, things are going to happen. And you have got to know what God has put on your heart, because every person in this church is going to get called to a call of duty. I'm just challenging you. I'm just telling you. We need to get ourselves prepared for what God is getting ready to do. Because I can tell you the hurting numbers of people aren't going like this. It's going like this. And we need to be prepared. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the giftings that you've given each of us. We thank you for the purpose, for the lives that you allow us to live. And dear God, we just pray now that you would just take this and start stirring in our hearts, start creating passion, and start giving us a concern, and then start leading us to give it a cause. God, I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you mostly for what you're going to do at Life Song through us and through everyone here and to the hurting world. And just thank you for all you're doing in your name.